Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
In the book of Exodus, of course, the children of Israel, the book of Exodus is a book of Exodus. That's what it is. It's the Exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt's land and their journey going towards the promised land. And they have been held in bondage there by Pharaoh in Egypt. God raises up a deliverer like he's promised he's going to do. And his name is Moses. And Moses is going to begin to lead God's children out of bondage into Canaan's land. Now we know that Moses never got to go into Canaan. He got to see it, but he never got to enter it. And my dad and I has a lot of conversations about that. And why did Moses not get to go into Canaan's land? Well, it's because he didn't do what God told him to do. God told him to smite that rock one time, and he smote it twice. And that rock was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being smitten on Calvary. He was only going to be smitten one time. And Moses went against what God said do. And can I just say this to you? When we go against the word of God, there is consequences that comes with that. So Moses is not able to go in. He did see it, but his successor, which is Joshua, ends up taking him in to Canaan's land. So when we come to Exodus chapter number 14, we know the different plagues is already passed. Pharaoh has said to let God's people go. Now, I want you to look with me, Exodus chapter 14, and I want to call your attention into one verse and use two words out of that verse and talk to you about it tonight. The Bible said in Exodus 14:15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they, now here's what I'm interested in, go forward. He said, what I want for the children of Israel is for them to go forward. I don't want them to stand still. I don't want them to back up. I want them to go forward. And I want to talk to you about those two simple words tonight, going forward, and talk about this, some things that you'll find when moving forward, some things that you'll find when going forward. That, can I just say this to you again? That is the will of God for us tonight, is to go forward. God's will for our church is not to sit still. God's will for our church is to not be complacent, but God's will for our church is to go forward. And you've heard me say this many times over the past 2 years, but we're at a really good place, and we're at a place where it would be, Brother Stan, very easy to get complacent. We're at a place where it'd be very easy just to go, man, the Lord's blessed us. We're going to quit knocking on doors. We're in a good shape. We're paying the bills. We've got a little extra money every month. We're just going to stop. But that's not the will of God. God's will for us is to go forward. It's to keep pressing on. It's to keep moving on. I want to talk to you about that just a little while tonight. Father, I love you. And I thank you, Lord, for being good to us. Father, I pray that you'd give us the mind of Christ, Father, as we preach tonight. And God, I pray that we would get clear understanding from your word. God, I pray, Lord, that we would see the practical application out of chapter 13 and 14 and even 15 of moving forward. Help our church, God, to never be complacent. God, help us to never, Lord, just be happy with where we're at, but God, may we continually want to move forward for you. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I thought about this as I was visiting the hospital over the past several weeks. I've been there several different times with different ones, some from the church, some not from the church. But I thought about this after any major surgery. They put these things on your legs. And what it does, Brother Aaron, it kind of massages your legs. And the whole point of it is this. It's to keep the blood circulating so blood clots don't set up, because when you just sit still, things quit working. You with me? You ever been sick in the bed for a day or two, and you get up and you start to try to walk, and man, you're weak and your legs lock up? Why? Because you've not been using them like you're supposed to. And I say this to us tonight, church, if we are not constantly moving and moving in the right direction, then things are going to lock up. Things are going to become complacent. Things are going to get stagnant. Can I just say it that way? Things are going to die if we're not constantly trying to move forward. If we don't have new people visiting our church and new people coming to our church, and not just visiting, you have to figure out how to retain them. Now, you say, well, preacher, that's all in the work of the Holy Ghost. Well, I agree with you right there, but are you going to go to a church that's not friendly? Amen. You're not going to. There's some things that we have to do. Can I get an amen right there? To help retain them. If we're not constantly having visitors, if we're not retaining some of those along the way, then you know what our church is doing? Our church is dying. It don't matter if there's 750 here right now. If new people is not coming in, then we are dying is what we're doing. So he speaks to the children of Israel and he says, hey, look, Pharaoh's letting us go, and here's what we've got to do. We've got to go forward. He said, we've got to go forward. Now, I find this interesting that God didn't tell nobody else there at the First Baptist Church of Israel the directions for the church but the man of God. He gave it, well, I got one amen right there. He gave it to the man of God. Who was it that instructed them to do that? It was Moses. It was the man of God. God speaks through his servant at the church. And on Saturday, this was it was funny because a couple times deacons was mentioned, and Brother Rodney about got up and left two or three times. He was running the sound. But deacons was talked about, and God never set a deacon board up to run the church. God never set a finance committee up to run the church. And I promise you, he never put a woman in a place to run the church. I'm just being honest with you. He set it up for the man of God, for the pastor to lead the church. And we see an example of that right here in the book of Exodus with Moses. God uses Moses to lead the children of Israel. And he says, hey, you go tell them to go forward. Now, they've got a choice to make. Are they going to listen to him? Are they going to heed to him and experience the blessings of God? Or are they going to sit in Egypt and die in slavery? So Moses comes to him and says, hey, it's time to get to moving. Let's go forward. Now, I really believe in all of my heart that we're moving forward at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I don't believe that we're a church that's stagnant. I don't believe that we're a church that's going backwards. I don't believe that we're a church that's just holding our own. I believe that we are moving forward here at Amazing Grace. But there is some things that happen when you start moving forward. Can I show it to you tonight? Number one, there's problems. Anytime you move forward, there's problems. Watch your Bible tonight. Are you in chapter number 14? Look in verse number 5 of chapter number 14. The Bible said this in verse number 5, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants were turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. Now, I want you to see this tonight. They experienced some problems when they started going forward. I thought about this. The Bible said this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There will be some problems when you start going forward. You know what I found out? Not everybody's excited about growth. Not everybody's excited about growth. Not everybody is excited. You say, preacher, it's a Wednesday night. You're crazy, man. I'm just being honest with you. Not everybody always is excited because the church is going forward. There's going to be some problems. You remember growing up, and as you was growing up, every once in a while you'd have a cramp, and your parents would say this, that is a growing pain. In moving forward, there's always growing pains. One of the classes that was taught yesterday on leadership, the guy that was teaching it, really related it more to pastors than he did even chaplains. He asked how many chaplains or how many pastors was there, and there was a large portion of the people there that was pastors. He began relating the leadership class that we was in to pastors, and here's what he said. He said, as your church grows or your agency grows or a business grows, anything you put it in, any perspective, as it grows, the chance of betrayal becomes greater. Because with more people is more problems. I remember what Dr. Jack Kyle said. He said, here's what he said. He said, if you've got people, you've got problems. Let me tell you the reason why. Every one of us are made up our own unique way. Me and Brother Charles Rogers, if you've never met Brother Charles Rogers, you need to meet him. Pray for him. He's not said much about this, but he's lost all of his hearing in one ear. And he's having some health issues. Pray for him. But he was talking to me, and he said, we was talking about an individual, and he said, you know, he's a little different. I said, yeah, and then Charles said this. We're all different in our own way, preacher. And I said, you're exactly right. And you know, when you get a group of people together, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some, that's just part of it. And as we move forward, as our church continues to grow, as God can, do you really think the devil's just going to sit back and not do anything? Do you really think that the devil is just going to sit back and let the church grow and preachers be called out of it and people's lives changed and people saved and our young people get on fire for God? Do you really think the devil's just going to sit back? Do you really think Pharaoh's just going to sit back and not do anything? I promise you there will be problems. That's just part of it. There was problems. Watch this. What did the Bible say in Psalms 23? I was reading through Psalms again, and Psalms 23, verse number 5, is a very interesting verse. Here's what he said. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of mine enemies. I want to say something to you, and you've heard me say this before. No church ever crumbled from without. No church ever split from without. It's always from within. Are you with me tonight? Number one, there's problems. Number two, when we move forward, there's not only problems, but can I say this? Number two, know what the Bible said in verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel, what does that say? Cried out unto the Lord. They cried out unto the Lord. Matter of fact, if you go on to study and go on to read this, you'll find that there's times that Moses cries out to the Lord. Matter of fact, when you get to chapter 15 and they come to this awful place called Marah, and as they come to Marah, you'll find out that Moses cried out unto the Lord in chapter number 15. Why? Because of the problem that they had. Here is what problems should do tonight, church. They should drive us to our knees. Number one, there was problems, but number two, in moving forward, there must be prayer. There must be prayer. We must take time that we get a hold of God and pray. I'll be honest with you. The more the church grows, the more that we do, the more that I pray. And I say that again, it's not that I don't pray for the church, I always have. You probably pray more for your kids now that they're getting older, now that you have more than one. If you have more than one, your prayer life changes towards them. And with the church, I'm going to tell you something, man, the more we grow, the more God blesses us, the more God does for us. Can I just say this to you? The more I go to Him in prayer and beg Him for His leadership and His guidance. In moving forward, church, you must know how to pray. You got to know how to get in touch with God. And I'm not just talking about some little old, you know, here's the thing. People talk about their prayer life. Talk about the prayer life and, boy, I prayed about this or I prayed about that. And sometimes I really want to look at them and go, how long? How long did you pray about that? How long, can I take it a step further, did you fast and pray before the God of heaven? That's what Nehemiah done. We can see fasting and praying all throughout the Word of God. And as we move forward, church, we cannot forget this is the major part of this. It is praying, man. I've always found this out. It's hard to talk about the person I'm praying for. I'm calling their name out to God, begging God to help them, begging God to touch them. Amen. Prayer. Man, pray. Pray. Problems will come. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. You might as well say amen tonight, church. It's inevitable. It will happen. But you know what? If we'll take those problems to the prayer closet and get before the God of heaven and say, God, lead me and guide me. God, direct me. God, speak to me through your word. Moving forward, there's going to be problems. Moving forward, there must be prayer, but you pick up in chapter number 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. There'll be problems. There'll be prayer. But can I show you this? Number three. And moving forward, there'll be provision. He said, hey, look, children of Israel, just watch God. Look what God can do. God will provide. I remember, and some of you have heard me tell this illustration years ago. I'm talking probably 15, 16 years ago. This situation rose up in the church. Boy, I was trying my best to figure out how to take care of it. I was trying to discern the Holy Spirit on it. I was reading the Bible. And I was preaching in Bakersville, North Carolina. If you've never been to Bakersville, you ought to go one time. I saw the end of the rainbow in a cemetery in Bakersville, North Carolina that night. I really did. And as a matter of fact, I got a picture of it on my phone. Wasn't no gold there either. It was just cemetery. But anyway, watch this. I told Josh Jenkins was coming to church here then, and I told Mater, I said, hey, look, I got to go preach for Brother Shane Gunner at Calvary Baptist Church in Bakersville. And I said, you want to go with me? He said, yeah. He said, I can probably work it out and get a couple of days off work, and I'll go with you. And I said, all right. So we went up there, and I was there for two nights. And first night of the meeting, man, it went great. And I told the preacher said, hey, tomorrow, and I'm not trying to be somebody super spiritual. I'm just giving you my testimony. He said, tomorrow we'll go gom around throughout the day, and I'll show you some things, and then I'll get you back enough time to get ready for church and study a little bit. And I said, hey, I appreciate it. I said, but is there any way the church will be unlocked tomorrow? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, I'd just like to come to the church tomorrow and just spend some time alone praying. He said, well, I guess I'll go with you. And I said, you don't have to, but I'd really like to do that if I could. And I told Brother Josh, we got back to the motel that night, a little old bitty rinky-dink motel in Spruce Pine. And I said, hey, man, I said, I'll share something with you. I don't even know if he remembers it all. And I said, this is a situation, and I sure need God to help me with it. And I said, this is my plan. I said, when I get back to church, I'm going to call this family. I'm going to take one of the deacons and meet with them, and I'm going to have to confront some things. He said, well, preacher, we probably ought to pray about that. I said, yeah, we are. So the next day, we went to that church. And we was at that church, and boy, God was blessing our churches in those early years. And a few of y'all was here during that time, man. It seemed like about every service somebody was getting saved, and every other service somebody was surrendering to preach, man. All them names I just read off to you, the biggest part of them surrendered to preach during that time. We went to that church that day, and I laid down on the back row in that church, and just started praying to myself. Didn't pray out loud, and a lot of times I don't pray out loud. And here's the reason I don't pray out loud. A lot of times the devil's not omnipresent, and the devil's not omnipotent. The devil don't know everything. You with me? God does, the devil don't. Matter of fact, the reason the devil finds out about a lot of things is because you tell him. Because we open our mouth and talk about it, that's the way he finds out about it. So a lot of times in my prayer, and I'm just talking about me personally, if I'm praying about something that's serious, I don't pray about it out loud. I didn't want nobody else in there to hear it. I didn't want the devil to hear it. And I laid down on the back of that church, and man, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And about 3 or 4 hours into praying, Brother Jacob, God sat down beside of me. He said, don't worry about it. I got it under control. And I said, but Lord, any of y'all ever tried to help him straighten things out? I said, but Lord, I'm going to have to do this, this, and this. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm going to have to do this, this, and this. He said, no, son, the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut and not do nothing about it. I told you I got it under control. I said, okay, Lord. After that, I quit praying. Got the answer for what I was praying for, man. I sat down on the back row. Them other boys finished up praying. We went back to the motel, got a bite to eat, come back to church that night, had a good time, come back home, never said one thing about that situation. Never said one thing about it. And you know what? It's all just fine. It never become nothing. There was nothing else ever said. It was all just fine. And let me tell you what happened. God provided. And the way that I found out God provided was because I took some time on my knees with my problem before my master and prayed about it. And God handled it. God will provide. God will provide. Where God guides, that's what Brother Sammy said, he always provides. Where God guides, he always provides. Going forward, you'll find provision tonight. God will take care of you. God will. Man, look at what we're sitting in tonight. Look at where we're at. Look at what God's done. I remember when I began talking to the men about building this building, I thought, how in the world? There's no way. I don't know what we'll do. Boy, we began meeting with the bank, and I scared to death. You say, well, God hadn't given us the spirit of fear. I know that, but I scared to death. Because if I let us into this and we didn't make the payments on it and everything went flop, you know who you was going to blame? Me. You might as well holler, amen. I scared death, Brother Ramsey. Well, I just began praying. I said, God, I believe it's your will to go forward. God, give me scripture on it. You know what we done? We started praying. And it was so interesting. It was so interesting. Years ago, Brother Brian, God sent preacher after preacher after preacher out of our church. Man, I'm telling you, preacher after preacher. I just read you a lot of it. 20, 21, 22. You know what God started doing? He started sending people to the church to work. Sent a plumber in the church. Sent an electrician in the church. She said, preacher, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. God will provide. If it's His will, He'll take care of it. The provisions of God. Boy, he says, man, you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know what they done? They stood still that night, saw the salvation of the Lord, that the waters parted open. And whenever they parted open, you know what he ended up doing? That cloud went behind them and sat down. You study this chapter out. That cloud went behind them and sat down, which is the type of the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. It went behind them and sat down, and Pharaoh and his army couldn't go nowhere because it's so dark. And the children of Israel walked, I'm talking about probably 3 million of them, walked across that night on dry ground. It wasn't ankle-deep water. It wasn't muddy. I'm telling you, if there's anything, there was dust everywhere. It was dry ground. All of this happening while right behind them, Pharaoh couldn't do nothing. Well, preacher, what a coincidence. Honey, if you're that dumb, the providence of God. You know what happened? They get on the other side. The cloud lifts up. And the Pharaoh and his armies goes, hey, boys, look, we can cross the Red Sea because it's parted back. One writer said that it was probably a mile and a half to the left and a mile and a half to the right in order for all of them to get across in that time span. Quite possibly up to 3 miles wide. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. Matter of fact, Dr. Garris used to preach on, what did the sea say when the sea saw? Remember, you just think about that. I wonder what the fish was saying. They're sitting there. You don't talk about a live aquarium. Can you imagine being a little boy walking across the dry ground of the Red Sea and looking and going, man, look at that. I'd like to catch that. Boy, we could feed a lot of them with that. I mean, just think about it. So, preacher, you've lost your mind. I ain't lost my mind. Think about it. They get over on the other side. Could you imagine little Johnny? Could you imagine as he growed up and told his kids about this story? Said, son, I got on the other side, and we thought, well, we're toast. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. And right when they get in the middle of it, guess what happened? And little Johnny Jr. looks up at little Johnny Sr. and goes, what, Daddy? Tell me what. He said the chariot wheels run off. Read your Bible. The chariot wheels run off. And the Bible said this, they drave them hard. In other words, they couldn't control them. And all of a sudden, Moses took that rod, sticks it back out over the Red Sea, and the Red Sea comes crashing. Boy, I'd like to have been there. And the Red Sea comes crashing in and kills every one of them. You want me to tell you what happened that night? Hey, here's what happened. God said go forward. They was faced with problems, and they prayed about it. And God used the man of God to lead them across and provided for them that night. Going forward comes with provisions. God took care of them. Watch this. Number four. It's 10 minutes to wait. I'm about done. Number four, going forward comes with promises. In chapter number 14, verse 26 through 30, he goes on to tell them that they're not going to see him anymore, that he's taking care of them, and they're not going to see the Egyptians anymore. He said in verse number 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Now, number five, I want to preach all of chapter number 15 for just a minute. Going forward must include praise. It must include praise. Here's what happens in chapter number 15. Then sang Moses, verse number 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown in the sea. Watch this. It's amazing how the Bible alliterates itself. The Lord, number one, is my strength. Number two, in my song. Number three, and has become my salvation. The Lord, he's my strength. There's point one. He's my song. There's point two. He's my salvation. There's point three. Alliterated outline, expository, line upon line, precept upon precept, right there in that verse. Isn't that amazing? Said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to praise the Lord. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariot and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also hath drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom of the Azotstone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Verse 8. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths of the congealed in the heart of the sea. Verse number 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the little G-O-D-S, among the little gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? You know what they're doing? They're saying simply this. They ain't nobody like him. That's just what they're saying. They ain't nobody like him. You can compare him to whoever you want to compare him to, but there ain't nobody like him. We've never saw anything like we just saw. We've never seen God do what God just done. So you know what they said? We're just going to take out a minute before we go any further, and we're going to say thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, God, for what you delivered us from. Thank you, God, for touching us and bringing us to where we're at. Going forward must have praise. It must have praise. Miss Tanya, come start playing. Goes on. Verse number 20, and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed glorious. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went in the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now I understand what happens in Marah. But whenever they get to Marah, they're faced with another problem. And you know what Moses does in that problem? We can go right back and walk right down through the same outline again. You know what Moses does? He goes before the Lord, and he prays. And God shows him what? A tree. And he takes that tree and throws it in the water. And the very thing that they hated, the very thing that was bitterness in their life, Marah, you know what happens? God makes it sweet. And now all of them, they was once running away from it. Now they're all running to it. You know what the moral of the story is? It's simply this. In the bitter times of our life, if we'll just get to a tree, if we'll just get to a tree, I'm not talking about any old tree. I'm talking about Calvary. If we'll just get to Calvary, if we'll just get our eyes focused on him, if we'll get them off of everything else and focused on he who gave his life for us, you know, it'll do to our problems. It'll dissolve our problems. And our very bitterness can be turned to sweetness. You know what God does after that? God leads them away from Marah, and where does he take them to next? Takes them to a place called Elam. takes them to a place called Elam. The Bible said this, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in the sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all the statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elam, where there was 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. In other words, they was just passing through the Red Sea. They was just passing through the wilderness. They was just passing by Marah. But when they got to Elam, the Bible said that they encamped there. There was palm trees. It's a type of victory in the Word of God. Oh, yes. And you know what else it said? Said there was 12 wells of water. At Marah, there was just a pond or a lake there. But can I remind you that there's probably close to 3 million of them. But in Elam, there's wells. How many? 12. How many tribes of Israel was they? 12. God, I've done lost half of you. God provided every tribe with their own well to drink out of. And guess what? He let them set up camp there. Can I just say it this way? I believe that we can take Elam and preach on it as a type of heaven. Right here, we may be living in Marah. There may be some bitter times. There may be some problems that come. But if we'll get to Him, He'll help us. But thank God we're headed to a place where we can set up camp. And there's not 12 wells. There's 12 gates around the throne of God. Just preach what you're saying. I'm just saying this. We better praise Him because of the provisions that He's provided. We've prayed to Him in the midst of our problems as we're going forward for Him. Father, as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, you know the need of the service. And Lord, I don't know why you brought me back here today as I was studying. And I'm thankful that you did. Lord, I pray that You would help us in our times of trouble, God, to turn to You and to look to You. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one's looking around. And the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, these altars are open. Man, may we go forward, amen. May we go forward. Yes, there's going to be bumps in the road. But boy, greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And thank God one day we'll walk through our last Marah. One day we'll walk through our last bitterness. One day we'll walk through our last problem. Thank God we'll reach it safely on the other side. Oh, yes, and we can set up camp when we get there.